Good morning, everybody. I'm very excited about what I want to share with you this morning. It's been in my heart since May this year, and today's the right day. I just know in my heart I had to wait for the right opportunity. So it's something that's been really birthed in my heart by God. And I just also want to say, Andre, not knowingly, but he almost did an introduction for me last week. We didn't know that it's going to work out like that. But if you want to know more, or if something is maybe confusing to you today, you can also listen to his sermon of last week. He laid a very good foundation for everything that I want to share this morning. Okay, so I'm gonna minister on liberty to the captives, and I will explain as I go. All right, I just wanna pray, and then we're gonna get going. Father, I honor you, God, as the one and only God. I honor you, Jesus, as the way and the truth and the life, and that no one can come to the Father except through you. I honor you, Holy Spirit, as our helper, as our comforter, as the one to come alongside us and assist us, Lord, with life, with everything that we need. And I give you glory for who you are in my life. I give you glory for what you have done in many people's lives who sit here this morning. And I know, God, that you are going to do something really special in our lives this morning. And I pray that you'll open our hearts for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Most of you know that I battled with insomnia, lying awake at night, for quite a while. I'm not going to go into the detail again of that. But around May this year, there was really a turning point in my life. And the two things that God used, many different things to change my life in that area. But the two things that I can definitely identify that brought a big change in my life. The one thing was, I realized that God is bigger than a sleepless night. I realized obviously we know it, but it became part of my heart. I knew God is bigger than this. Okay, even if I don't sleep, God is bigger than this. And the second thing which really changed me was I realized that I don't have to fear evil. I don't have to be a victim. I don't have to fear the devil who's now gonna come and make me lie awake, because I just blamed the devil all the time because it was the devil. But in any case, I realized I don't have to fear evil anymore, and it changed everything for me. I could actually start praising God at night when I don't sleep, where in the past I was just depressed and it was just really difficult for me, and all of a sudden it changed everything for me, where I realized that my God is bigger than this thing that I can't overcome. I don't know what to do, Lord. I've tried everything, and when God said to me, Sonika, I am bigger, it changed everything for me. You know, and sometimes people are being set free immediately from something in an instant. Sometimes it's a process. And I believe one of the reasons why it's a process sometimes is we need to get to the root. We need to get to exactly why is this happening in our lives. We need to get to the root of the problem. And I pray and I trust God that this morning we're going to get to some roots in our lives. As I'm going to share, I really pray that God will highlight things for you. You know, don't go and dig deep and try and find something which is not there. Okay, sometimes that is also the devil. He makes us believe that, you know, somewhere in your past when you were 4 years old, something happened, and that is the reason why you're battling today. But he doesn't show you. He just leaves you with a something happened. Okay, God will show us. So don't stress about unnecessary things. God is faithful to highlight whatever you need to know. Okay, whatever you need to know and what you need to do to be set free of whatever you're battling with, God will highlight that in your life. Okay, so I'm going to take you to the Old Testament. The Old Testament stories are there to teach us, to train us, to help us understand God and things. So I want to take you to a story in the Old Testament where God delivered the nation of Israel. It's actually quite an amazing story, you know, all the 10 plagues, and, you know, it's very exciting for the kids normally, but I'm just going to highlight a few scriptures this morning and just take you on a journey to show you how deliverance works. If it's not instantly, normally how it would work. Okay, so let's look at Exodus 2, verse 23 to 25. This scripture happened, it happened 430 years after the Israelites were, after 430 years of bondage, this happened. Now, it happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. And I want you to notice this. The king of Egypt died because that was a very significant thing that happened in the Israelites in their history, because that shows us that there's a time and an appointed time for something in our lives for God to set us free from. Okay, there's an appointed time. And that happened for the Israelites when the king of Egypt died. Then the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage, and they cried out, and their cry came up to God because of the bondage. So God heard their groaning. And God remembered his covenant with Abram, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them. After 430 years of bondage, God said, now is the time. Now is the time. So whatever you're battling with in your life, there is an appointed time for God to set you free. So I just want to give you hope this morning, because sometimes we feel, I've been battling with this for 30 years, or 10 years, or 5 years, and people have prayed for me. There is an appointed time that God will set you free. Okay, so just remain in that hope that God, and I really believe, because many, many prayers has gone into this morning, and I really believe it's today is an appointed time for some of us that God will set you free. Amen? So you know about Moses and the burning bush and that whole story, and God said to him, I want you to go to Pharaoh and tell them, let my people go. Okay, that scripture is not on the screen. I'm just going to tell you what happened. So Moses went to Pharaoh, and then Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and I won't let Israel go. Okay, so what Pharaoh did after Moses spoke to him, he said to his people, let more work be laid on the men that they may labor on it. So what happened? It got worse. Pharaoh, God said, I want to deliver my people. I see them. I acknowledge them. I'm going to send Moses to Pharaoh. Moses spoke to Pharaoh. Pharaoh said, who is God? I'm just going to make them work harder. And this is what often happens. So I also want to encourage you, sometimes when you go through a process of deliverance and God get involved, it all of a sudden gets worse. And you think, no way. What is this? Christianity is not for me, because it's now worse. I'm more depressed. My life is just more confusing. So I just want to give you hope. If you've ever been through a process where God has taking you on a journey of deliverance, sometimes in the beginning it gets worse. So the devil doesn't want to let go. He wants to bring us to a point where we're so despondent, and then we don't follow through on this journey with God. All right? So just to put that in perspective. And then God said to Moses, therefore say to the children of Israel, Exodus 6 verse 6, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rescue you from their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. So God said to him, just tell them, I'm in control. I am going to deliver you, even though you're working harder now. And what is amazing is God started with the 10 plagues. And what happened is it hit all the Egyptians, but not the Hebrews. In the land where the Hebrews dwelt, Goshen, there was nothing happening. Not, you remember the water turned into blood, and there were frogs and, you know, everything. And everything that freaks girls out, let me tell you. I can just imagine all those chochas in my house. But in any case, it didn't hit the Hebrews, and there were two things that God wanted to show the nation. The one was he wanted to show Pharaoh that he is in control. In other words, I mean, Pharaoh, they also worshipped certain gods, and their gods could also do certain things. But God showed them that this he is in control, because his nation, the nation of Israel, there was nothing. Okay, there was no plague, and it hit all the Egyptians. And the second message that God wanted to show is to the Hebrews that he loves them and that he cares for them. Okay, it's an amazing message, because God said, I'm in control, I'm stronger, I'm more powerful. But to the Hebrews, he said, I love you. I love you. It's amazing. So it happened that, you remember the story where the firstborn boys, they died, and the Pharaoh said, okay, it's enough, you can go. You can go. So Israel left the land of Egypt, the Hebrews, they left, and they came to the Red Sea. Now, what often also happens to us is we say, we come to the Red Sea in our lives, and we say, God, what is this? I thought you delivered me. I thought I'm free, Lord, from this issue. Now, what is this? And then God wants you to go through the Red Sea. Okay? You're still busy with this process, that is, with this journey that he's taking you on. So, and the Red Sea, if you've been to our Perspective Seminar, you will know that the Red Sea also symbolizes baptism, water baptism. So going through the Red Sea also represents water baptism, and that is also sometimes a very significant part of our journey of deliverance, to get baptized in water. So I really want to encourage you, if you have not been baptized in water, to consider, to seriously consider getting baptized. Okay, many people have experienced amazing freedom after water baptism. All right, it's a picture. It's an Old Testament picture of water baptism that we do today. So in Exodus 14, they're standing in front of the Red Sea. Now just imagine this, okay? It sounds like this beautiful fairy tale. There were cattle, there were babies. There were people, thousands. They have to cross a sea. There's no boat, okay? They must go through the water. And they freaked out, because they thought now they're going to die in any case. They might as well just stayed in Egypt. And then Moses told the people, Exodus 14, fear not, stand still, firm, confident, and undismayed, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians you have seen today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace and remain at rest. This exact scripture God gave me last year in February, in 2011, in Feb. And he said to me, Sonika, fear not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Specifically in terms of my sleeping problem. God said to me, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. That was last year, February. And I just knew, I was holding on to this scripture for dear life, because I knew God spoke to me. But I couldn't figure out exactly how this is going to work, because I couldn't figure it out myself. And God was true and faithful to this promise he gave me. So just be encouraged this morning. You know, we cannot deliver ourselves. We cannot. We cannot change ourselves. We cannot be a good person by our own nature. God's grace is sufficient for us to change, is sufficient for us to be transformed. Okay, God is the one who delivers us. We need to put our trust in the Lord. We need to stand still. And we need to see how God fights for us. We can remain at rest. We can remain at peace. Like the scripture says, you know, God is bigger than our past. He's bigger than our mistakes. He's bigger than our weaknesses. He's bigger than sin. He's bigger than your family background. He's bigger than fear. He's bigger than anxiety. He's bigger than anything you battle with. He is bigger. Okay? He is really, really bigger. So how do we get free? Okay, let's be very practical. How do we get free? We first need to get to the roots, like I said in the beginning. We need to get to why are we bound in whichever way. Even sickness, sometimes sickness could be physical. Sometimes sickness could be a result of something like unforgiveness or something that started deep, deep in your spirit and now your body is sick. So sometimes the doctors don't know what to do because they don't know. And they can't solve the problem because it's actually a something that's not a physical thing. The physical thing is just a result. Okay? How do we get free? First of all, we need to surrender our lives to Jesus. Okay, I need to say this right at the start, because if we are not willing to surrender to God, we will never be free. Okay, so even if you are being set free from certain things, but not following God, it's not going to help you. It's not going to help you. The devil will come back and knock on your door again. So we need to be born again. We need to say, God, I surrender to you as my Lord and as my King. And you reign in my life. That is the starting point. So I want to take you to a scripture in Isaiah 61, verse 1, the New Living Translation. It says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has appointed me to bring good news to the poor. He's anointed me and appointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to announce that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. Captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. So obviously then there's a difference between a captive and a prisoner. It's very interesting, and I'm gonna explain it to you now. A prisoner, we all know, is somebody who've been sentenced to jail by a judge. You've done something wrong, you're going to jail, you're a prisoner. Okay, that is a prisoner. And often in a spiritual environment, if we are a prisoner spiritually, we've invited the devil into our lives by a lifestyle of sin. Okay? And God can sort it all out, so don't worry and don't feel condemned. But we are a prisoner because of certain choices and things that we have made. Okay, so we have invited, we've given the devil legal ground in our lives because of a lifestyle of sin. And it takes a court order from the judge, who is Jesus, to release that prisoner. It literally takes a court order from God to release that prisoner to freedom. That is a prisoner. A captive is also somebody who's been imprisoned, but not by a lifestyle of sin, by believing certain lies and seeing it as the truth. So you believe you don't have any future, or you believe that you're a failure. You believe it with all of your heart. It's a lie. But now you believe it, and now it sits there in your life, and it actually puts you in prison. Okay, does it make sense to you? So, prisoners, if we have invited the devil into our lives by a lifestyle of sin, we need to repent. Okay? It's normally nothing huge, nothing big. We need to say, God, I repent of this and this and this. And you know, I really pray God will just highlight. Don't feel guilty or condemned about anything. Okay, there's no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. God will highlight whatever is necessary this morning. If we have invited demonic influence in our lives by a lifestyle of sin, we need to repent. So what is repentance? Repentance is not only, oh, I'm so sorry. No, you need to turn your back. You need to turn your back on that thing. Somebody once said, you must turn 360 degrees. And then Andre said to him, no. Then you're back to where you started. Okay, not 360, 180, okay? You need to turn your back on whatever lifestyle you had. You must be vigilant. You must do everything to get rid of that in your life. But it starts by saying, God, I repent. Please forgive me. And then, if You know, I've realized sometimes that we've come across people, they want to be free, but they don't want to serve God. And it's a problem. If you just want to be free from certain things in your life, and you don't want to serve God, we can't help you. Nobody can really, really help you. You're going to go from counselor to counselor to counselor. It's not going to benefit you. You have to surrender your life to Jesus. Amen? You have to do that. That is the key. And then once you are born again, once you are a new creation, God can start with this work in your life. In Matthew 18, verse 21 to 25, you can read that parable for yourself. But that explains, if we don't want to forgive somebody, even if somebody did something to us that was unfair, that was ungodly, that was harsh, that was horrible, if we can't forgive that person, we give the devil a right to torture us. We then are being tortured by the devil because of unforgiveness. And it sounds really unfair, but if we don't forgive, we're also in a prison. Joyce Meyer wrote a book recently that says, do yourself a favor, forgive. Do yourself a favor, forgive. Because we put ourselves in a prison. We literally put ourselves in a prison if we battle to forgive. And let me tell you, it's not easy, but I've been in situations where I had to forgive, and I had to every day forgive until that thing broke in me. And I could look at the person and just love and bless. Sometimes it's depending on what happened to you. It could be a long process. But it starts by saying, God, I want to forgive. I don't know if I can. I don't know how to do it. But I want to. Please help me. That is how forgiveness starts. And sometimes it's a journey. But we have to come to a place where we forgive. Otherwise, we give the devil a right to torture us. This is what the Bible says. So unforgiveness imprisons our souls, and it opens the door to the evil spirits in us. Unforgiveness. Forgiveness inspires a decree from the king, which in turn gives us authority to command these evil spirits to release their prisoner. So the moment we say, I forgive, there's a command from the king for those spirits to leave. But if we still have to deal with unforgiveness, we can pray and pray and pray and pray, and it's not going to go, because we have to forgive. And then the other difficult one is, we also need to forgive ourselves. And often that is the difficult one. And often that is, I believe, where the most punishment comes in, because you feel, no, but I've messed up. I've made a mistake. I deserve. You almost punish yourself. You open a big, big door for the devil to torture you if you don't forgive yourself. You have to. You have to come to a place where you say, I forgive myself for this and this and this and this and this that I have done. Even if it was sin. Even if it was not by accident. Even if it was like a real deliberate mistake or a real deliberate wrong choice. You have to forgive yourself. You have to forgive yourself to enable God to set you free completely. Okay, so let's look at captives, believing the lies of the devil. So that is a prisoner that Isaiah 61 talks about. And a captive is, we give the devil permission to punish us because we think his lies are true. And when we are tormented because of lies, we need revelation of the truth of God. And most often it's just found in the Bible. It's just often the Bible is our map, it's our handbook. It shows us what is the truth and what is a lie. I'm going to give you a few examples of lies. I'm a failure. There's something wrong with me, seriously wrong with me. I have no future. I will never make a success in life. God is cross with me. It was my fault. I deserve punishment. People think I'm stupid and ugly. I'm a mess. I've made too many mistakes or sinned too badly for God to forgive me. That's a big lie, that you've sinned too badly or messed up too badly for God to forgive you. All lies. If you've been thinking any of these things, it's a lie. And if it's been sitting in you since you can remember, you are a captive. You are in prison. You must be set free from those lies because God has a future for you. You're not a failure. You're not a mess. No sin is too big for God to forgive you. You're not ugly, definitely not ugly. You're not a mess. God loves you. He created you. None of those things is the truth. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 and 5 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but it's mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." So how do we deal with this? We identify the lie. We must first know that it's a lie. If we think it's the truth, it doesn't help. We need to know, whatever I think now, I am a failure. I am a failure. Okay, that's a lie. Now what you do with that, you take that lie, you say, "God, I take this I am a failure thought, I make it obedient to God. I take it captive. It's not going to take me captive anymore. I take this thought captive. I put it in a cage. And I make it obedient to God." And then what you do, you replace that with the truth. You get yourself a scripture in the Word of God that says, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." For every lie, you take it captive, you give it to God, and you get yourself a scripture that declares the opposite. And you make that part of your life. And when that lie comes back to torment you, you say, "No way, I identify you, stay away, you're a lie. This is what the Bible says, this is what God says about me." Amen. This is amazing. Let me tell you, if you learn to identify the devil's lies and to conquer that with the truth, it will transform your life. Because many, many things happen here in our minds and in our thought life. The last thing of how we can be a prisoner or a captive, sometimes we make negative covenants with the devil, not always knowing what we've done. I want to tell you a story that we've heard from Helene Tron. She's a woman, Afrikaans lady in Mossel Bay, with an amazing, amazing deliverance ministry. We attended a course with her just before we came to East London. She told this story. They prayed for her family once. Their daughter was deaf. And she wasn't deaf from birth. It just all of a sudden happened, suddenly. And then God showed them a bank deposit plastic bag, those small bank deposit bags. And inside the bag, there were those three bones in your ears. I wrote it down. A hammer. Hammer, anvil, and stirrup. Hey? Okay, those three bones in the bank deposit bag. And they thought, "What on earth is this?" And they shared it with the couple. And then they just started crying. And then the story came out. They were in, a couple of years back, they were in a very bad financial trouble. And they went to a Sangoma to fix this. And the Sangoma told them, "I can fix your financial position, but I want your daughter's earring." And they thought, "Oh, what can this man do? Let's go for it." So obviously they did some other ritual. And when they got home, their daughter was deaf. Okay, this is the extreme. This is the extreme. Okay, I'm going to give you more examples that's maybe applicable to some of you. They prayed for the girl. They repented. She could hear. Okay, that is quite an extreme example of a covenant with the devil. What can also happen is, Chris Valentin tells a story in one of his books. He prayed for a lady in their church. Older lady, committed to the church forever, happily married, grandchildren. I mean, everything looks fine. And when he prayed with her, he discovered that she has suicidal thoughts. But also just all of a sudden. And then she told him, they went back and tried to discover where did it start. And she said to him, she went through a very difficult time in the family, and she thought to herself, it would be easier for me to be dead than to live this life. And since that moment, the suicidal thought started. And he prayed with her, and I want to read you a typical prayer because it might help you, you know, just in terms of things that you have maybe almost traded, you know, because she allowed the spirit of death to comfort her instead of God. She said, I would rather be dead than live like this. And it can easily happen to any one of us, okay, where you actually, you're just so overwhelmed and you think, I would rather have this, which is not of God, instead of living like this. And then you almost trade the one for the other. And then that one that you said you would rather want, that starts to torment you. Okay, so this is a very interesting one that everybody's not aware of. But a typical prayer that will just break the power of this thing is, Jesus, forgive me for making a covenant with the devil by inviting death to comfort me. Thank you that you gave me the Holy Spirit, who is my comforter and my friend. Spirit of suicide, I break my agreement with you. I no longer want you in my life, and I command you to leave in Jesus' name. That's it. If you are a born-again Christian, if you are washed by the blood of Jesus. They prayed this prayer over the woman, and she was set free immediately. The thoughts disappeared. The suicidal thoughts disappeared. So we really want, I'm trusting God that we can pray for some of us this morning. I just want to share one last thing before we're going to pray for people. I've shared with you now how we can get free. Obviously, you know, there's many different scenarios and different ways that God can use to set us free. But we've experienced that unforgiveness and repentance is definitely our key. Forgiving. Unforgiveness is often the root and a lifestyle of sin. But how do we stay free? I just want to read you two scriptures, then we're going to pray for people. Luke 11, verse 24 to 26. When an unclean spirit, Andre explained unclean spirits last week, so you can get his sermon on that. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest. And finding none, he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. And then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself. And then they enter and they dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. It's worse than the first. We know someone who's been delivered. And that person fell back into a lifestyle of sin. And that specific person is today harder and colder towards God and towards the gospel than ever before. It's just literally as if they left a spirit and there came seven back and made him harder and colder than ever before. And it's nothing to be afraid of. Okay, don't now fear this morning to be set free because seven's going to come back. It's about, as I said, we need to serve Jesus. We need to make him King and Lord of our lives. It's like some people have a good metabolism, like a quick metabolism. They can just eat and eat and eat and eat, not pick up weight until you're 30. So be careful. Some people have not a good metabolism since ever. You know, they have to watch what they eat all the time. You can also have maintain a good weight and have a healthy life, but you need to focus a little bit more, okay? I'm sure some of you maybe know what I'm talking about. In the same way, if you've been delivered, say for example, alcohol. Let's take alcohol. If you've been delivered from an alcohol addiction, you now can also live a free life. But you need to focus a bit more. Okay? You need to focus a bit more than somebody who's never battled with that. You probably never can just drink something again. You can never be casual about it. You can never be nonchalant and just lie on the couch and be passive and think, okay, I'm delivered. I'm fine. No, you have to seek God. You have to fill your house with the Lord and with His presence. You have to fill your life with God. And we need to walk in our authority. My last scripture, then we're going to pray for people. Luke 10, verse 19. It says, "Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Together with filling our house with God's presence, walking in the light, being accountable, we need to know that we have authority. We have authority over sickness, over darkness. You know, we need all the darkness needs to flee is light. And Jesus is the light of the world. We serve the light. We serve the light is king. Darkness is defeated. We serve a God who is light. We serve a God who is light.